Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Front Three, the football podcast from me, Adam Boltwood, the one and only Lawrence McKenna.
Hey, how you doing?
And of course, the stat man himself, David O'Brien.
Hello.
How's it going?
I don't remember calling you David.
No, it's more Dave.
Yeah. I just thought I'd give you the
The solid Dave.
The full name. Like anyway, we're all in the same room this week. For the first time in about...
Doesn't it? First time about a month, 2 months?
I enjoy the same room way more than I enjoy
used to this. Yeah.
It just means I can't sit in my pants, which is a bit upsetting.
Well, you can if you want, man.
Yeah, do what you want. Anyway, guys, thank you once again for listening to the Front Three. Close second place for comment of the week this week comes from DBZ Nail. He gave us a 5-star iTunes review. Thank you very much for that.
What does it say below it?
It says a blend.
Shit podcast.
No, it says a blend of informative stats from Dave.
Yeah.
Sarcastic yet truthful humour opinion from Lawrence.
Oh, I want to change that.
And the captain in charge of it all.
The leader, the legend.
Not today. On Twitter, who tweeted from our account that we'd have that it would be me on the right?
Not me, mate.
You on the?
Yeah, it was me.
Left.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Yeah, but you didn't think right because I play on the left. You play on the right.
No, but I like to cut in on my right foot.
Yeah, and that's fine. But do that on the right then.
Well, what foot are you?
I'm left.
Yeah, you see, I like inverted wingers.
Oh, okay.
That's why I went
that's
with that.
Much,
so
yeah.
Got inverted, right. So we hit the big man early,
yeah.
And then we come in, and we create, and then we can swap, go our own sides if we want to whip the ball to the big man on his head, you know, simple.
Do you want to send that to Brendan Rodgers, just see what he says?
Yeah, Brendan, I've got a plan for you.
Yeah, Brendan, here goes.
That was second place for comment of the week. That wasn't comment of the week.
Ooh.
The actual comment of the week goes to Gareth Hunter, who said, great podcast, lads. However, Lawrence is an insufferable prick. Which I thought was unnecessarily
insulting. Like,
I really like the negative comments we get. I just love reading them out.
Yeah,
I'm sure
sorry.
It's about you. But it's not about me, so it's fine, isn't it?
Do you know why? That's because you're an insufferable prick.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I'm sorry to say. But Gareth, I think it was...
I get better in real life. Just meet me in real life.
He's a grower, Lawrence McKenna. Anyway, if you want to let us know what you think of the podcast, how insufferable you think we are, or give us suggestions or ask questions, you can do so on iTunes, SoundCloud, or on Twitter at the Front 3, the number 3, not the word. Anyway, on with this week's show.
There's an account out there, by the way, that is called the Front 3. And they're getting hundreds of followers, and they're going...
It's a parody. Hang on.
With each hashtag, and they're going, are we even asked for this? This is great feedback.
My bad, guys, my bad.
The Front 3 Nelson Mandela.
I like it. Anyway, on with the show. Start with the news, then we go on to the questions and the talking points. As always, first up, I thought a little break from the transfer news, because, you know, it's all we've been talking about for weeks.
Is it talk about little... Jose's comment on the transfer news?
No, I wanted to start off a little bit about FIFA.
Oh,
so
FIFA 16's out.
It is.
Fantastic.
But the actual organisation, it's come out today that Michel Platini is set to announce his bid for FIFA president this week. Mm-hmm. Sepp Blatter, of course, announced in June he was stepping down. Mm-hmm. Amid all the corruption that he might not be, but he said he has now. So anyway, I just wanted to quickly, you know, a little break from the transfer news, like I'm saying, what are your opinions on Michel Platini taking over from Sepp Blatter? Is this the man to clean up FIFA?
Good question. I don't know if it's about the personality that will clean up FIFA. I think it's about more than that, and it's probably going to be down to a group of people. What worries me is that we're still going roughly by the same system of election. We're still going roughly by the same ideas that set the organisation on this path and expecting there to be a different result. And I just wonder if we'll change that result with Platini at the head of it. I understand what Platini's done in Europe, which has been to, again, thicken the pot for people. So he's brought in, you know, the leagues which aren't as powerful, and he's tried to make them more powerful. He's changed the hegemony of the other big sides. But I just wonder, is he going to be able to do that at this level?
It is, even if he does get in, it's a tough act to follow. Mm. Sepp Blatter, of course, as Putin said, he should be nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. How can you follow a man?
I feel like Putin's got some sort of agenda there, guys.
Big agenda.
I feel like he was trolling everyone. It was like the master troll.
No, you do feel like he's sitting. You feel like he's sitting in the press conference, just going, "Go on,
come on,
he's surely,
I like he said that shirtless to a room full of journalists, and then just went, "I'll be off," and just sort of walked out.
But aside from Putin,
yeah.
Platini, he's a man who actually voted for Qatar at the World Cup.
It's absolutely rubbish. It's like Real Madrid signing Galactico. That's what it is. It's getting an ex-player in that can potentially change it, which, again, is rubbish. You need a systematic change, like Lawrence is saying. You need a committee that's coming in, potentially from another industry, potentially a committee that's cleaned up banking, let's say, or potentially that's cleaned up the gambling industry. The gambling industry is probably one of the most regulated industries in the world, which is fantastic. And obviously there's
an interesting idea in
football and that type of thing. And I think that's what it's got to be, an external force coming in to sort out all the rot. There's too much rot. We need people that are focused on making it better for the future. And Platini is just basically saying, okay, let's just try and forget about everything. Let's get a former European Ballon d'Or winner, you know, player of the year in, and everyone's going to think FIFA's brilliant again. You know, it's absolute rubbish for me.
I may sound like a bell end.
Insufferable.
Like an insufferable dick. Yeah. I think there's a huge agenda which our podcast probably pushes further on, which maybe we have to acknowledge exists in football at the moment, which is the white man's agenda in the modern world. And that actually it's going to be very difficult for us to accept the fact that we're... it's not going to be difficult. It is going to be difficult to accept for some people, but I think it's going to be difficult to accept. Sorry, I'm getting lots of interference on my phone. It's going to be difficult to accept for a lot of people that the current system is set up in such a way that it favours mostly privileged white people within the game. And that's hard to acknowledge as on a podcast which is essentially three privileged white people, right?
You're talking about life.
I'm talking about life.
It's about education, though, because, for example, the bribes that have been taken, they are coming from the sort of the Caribbean or wherever. They're obviously where they've been promised a hell of a lot from the likes of Sepp Blatter. They've been promised, you know, brilliant improvements in their grounds and the training facilities and all that. We do need to do that. That should still be the core of our focus, but it's got to be for everyone. It's got to go more socialist in a way. Got to go such more social. You know, we've got to go a socialistic where we're improving everything.
No, I see what you're
saying. But we are running it properly, because football at the end of the day, you know, it is about profit for some people, but it's not. It's a game that people love, and it's a sport at the end of the day. And that's what we're forgetting. We're forgetting that it's for fans, and it's for the improvement of people. It's an education, and that's where we're going away. We're going away with cash and dollar bills and all this rubbish.
Sorry to cut you off, Dave, but that's what some people would say then, what counts as progress within FIFA. And that's where the mandate kind of comes from people like Platini. And you say, you know, what's Platini's mandate in football? And he's essentially done well to thicken the amount of people who can get into the pot, but he's not made it an all-inclusive sport. And this is part of the problem, is acknowledging it's a long-term process. Mm-hmm. And then working from there. But the problem being that if we're then putting someone else in who's already pushing an agenda which seems counterintuitive to where we want football to go, which is to be inclusive of everyone, which is what Platini's done, he's widened it to Europe, but I'm not sure how much further that would go, if that makes sense. So I think he's done well to reinforce what Adidas has got, what other big organisations
within. That's the issue, isn't it?
Gazprom is the sponsor of.
They've done all right, haven't they? Yeah.
And like, all I'm saying is, there's it's not as if we're electing people.
No wonder Putin's backing him, isn't he? Gazprom.
No, Putin's backing Blatter.
Yeah, exactly. And Blatter brought in Gazprom, didn't he? It's a big circle. It's a horrible, horrible circle.
I see what you're saying, I'm interested in is the progression of what people seem to be thinking right now, and I'd love to hear what people think in the comments about where they want FIFA to go, because we don't only have listeners that are in Europe.
That'll be fantastic. Sorry to jump in, but like hearing it from around the world, what do you think of FIFA? Has FIFA done something good for your, you know, your locality, or has it done, you know, has it neglected
the problem? On a local level, though, Dave, there have been a lot of good things that FIFA's done.
Well, then we need to also value that. I think we're very critical at the moment. Obviously, we're critical with all the money that's going down in horrible ways, but we've got to also acknowledge the positivity that's coming out of their reign, and then that's where we build from. We forget, like, we should be. I was reading Alex Ferguson biography today. And he talked about when players come in at half time, hammer them at the start, but then always the message to be sent out afterwards when you're building for the future, when you're going into the second half, is positivity. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're forgetting at the moment. It's a very dark world football at the moment, and we need to get that. What's done well, let's continue doing that. Let's expand this, you know, the whole generation, the whole world. Let's cover everyone. Let's get their facilities up, and let's progression. You know, progression is what we need.
The problem with that would be the criticism of that argument would be that is so closely linked with the agenda of the privileged people within the game, that if you progress what they've already progressed, you're also progressing the privileged agenda, and the two are almost not inextricably linked, but they've made it so linked that it becomes difficult to disentangle the two. So, for instance, there are a load of organisations who are owned by rich white people, which I understand sounds hypocritical coming out of my mouth, and there's probably someone else who's better to say this. But what I'm saying is that, you know, there's a lot of organisations who are in there that maybe are set up to serve those other people.
But
we need to look at how we can widen that. And that, essentially, takes a deconstruction of the organisation.
Compelling stuff, as Lawrence McKenna would say. We've got to move on, because
I've never had a compelling word said about it. Or nearly.
Anyway, let's move on to the infinitely, more tabloid headlines. I just want to talk briefly about Jose Mourinho.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're going to love this, Lawrence. I think you're going to love this. Mm-hmm. So the season's not even started yet, and you know the news the last couple of days has been about Mourinho starting the mind games, head of the Community Shield, Arsenal v Chelsea this weekend. Mm-hmm. So taking this,
That'll be good.
It should be good. And this is, you know, maybe making it a bit more interesting. We'll see. But anyway, taking this face value, eating it up like the papers have, it seems Mourinho is having a little bit of a pop at Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
Maybe trying to put some pressure on his old rival.
That showed in his face, didn't it?
Yeah, there you go. So basically said, if you add up the amounts clubs have spent in the last 3 or 4 years, I think
still
maybe...
as much as you've ever spent, Jose.
I think maybe you will find a surprise. If you put Ozil plus Alexis Sanchez plus Chambers plus Debushi, you will find a surprise. It's a fantastic squad with good players, fantastic goalkeeper. They are more than ready to be title contenders. Get a calculator. That is the easiest thing. It leaves no space for speculation. If you want to be honest, objective and pragmatic, it is the easiest job for a manager to do. I'm not quite sure what point Jose Mourinho is trying to make here. He's trying to say Arsenal spent a lot of money. Yeah. They should be title challengers. Mm-hmm. That's obvious, right?
I mean, in that same interview where other tabloids have picked up that Mourinho is saying his rivals are trying to buy the title. But, okay, let's go back to 2004-2005.
Are you going from this chart?
Oh, mate, let's jump into the
Let's do this, right? So, Mourinho, in his first season at Chelsea, bought Cech, Drogba, Robin, Paulo Ferreira, among others. He spent £94 million.
Yeah.
Arsenal came second that season. They spent £4.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a massive, massive difference in first and second place. So for Mourinho to ever say his rivals are buying the title, it's absolutely mental. But let me just continue. 2005-2006.
Get close to the fucking mic at least.
So the second season he was there, won the title again. He bought Essien, Del Horno, Sean Wright-Phillips, among others. £60 million. Man United came second. They spent £20 million. Again, buying the title.
Are we speaking net here, or what are we speaking?
So that's net. Sorry, that's gross spend. Net. You know, for the first season, the net was about 90 million. Similar for the second season, it was around the 60 million mark. It's mental. Mourinho, basically, for me, is hiding the fact that he's done terribly in this window. He's lost his backup goalkeeper, who was brilliant, and he's signed Falcao.
That's what I want to get to, because we all know that Jose Mourinho spent a lot of money on those Chelsea squads back in the day, and also since he's come back to the club. So we all know that. He knows we all know that.
Yeah,
so what is he trying to do? Is he trying to, like Dave
games.
Says...
Well, what I think he's trying to say... It's not as uneven maybe as we point out to people. So he's saying, you say I spend a lot of money, so is Arsene Wenger.
It's interesting he says that about Arsene Wenger when it's Manchester United and Man City were the ones who were splashing the cash this window. Why?
Specifically, he has a game against Arsenal this weekend. But then the day before, he also took the time to take a pop at United. Pop, he commented on them.
So what do you think?
Essentially, that doesn't really matter. And I listened to another podcast called... I think it's called Five Football Talking Points, or Football Five Talking Points. Am I right to say that?
I think you are right.
It's really good. It's a good podcast. It's a brand new podcast. And they say, yeah, it's all about numbers. And they basically said something that's quite interesting, which is, back in the day, that was a normal Tuesday afternoon. No one batted an eyelid. Now we rip that comment apart and we make it so important to the narrative.
Do you read anything into those comments? Do you think they're worth anything? Do you think all this newspaper column inches about it are interesting? Do you think they're worthwhile?
It's mind games. It's distracting from the point. It is making, you know, if you're an Arsenal player and you've been, for example, you're targeting Mesut Ozil, you're targeting Alexis Sanchez to perform because he's called them out and he said, you are X amount of money. Wenger's spent loads of money on you. So there, the pressure's coming on. It's the mind. It's brilliant. For me, it's brilliant. He's defending what he's done, which is absolutely nothing. Mm. Is what Cuadrado, that he's not even playing in his correct position or he's not really utilising him. You know, and he's bought a number of players that potentially he's fallen out with. You know, Willian, he's kind of, Willian's still a good player, but Willian, when he came to Chelsea, was a fantastic attacker. What's he now? He's a defensive forward.
So it's an exercise in heaping pressure on your rivals while also distracting, deflecting any criticism away from you.
It's brilliant.
I think effective. You're wrong. I think maybe your conclusion of saying you're heaping pressure on your rivals is the only bit I would say is wrong.
Okay, not heaping, but trying to apply pressure.
Trying. I'd say trying is the attempting to. And I think the biggest problem is that people play into that.
Yeah. As we've just eaten it up and talked about for 5 good minutes. Point in hand is that Wenger came out and responded to it. He did kind of try
not
and
directly.
We did try.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And batted down and sort of said, you know, we do what we do, we let the other people talk, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah. What was this after Wenger, attacked the Man United youth system for not having enough young players in our side?
No, I mean, full-time devils already dealt with that one, Dave.
Anyway,
in the non-self-satisfied manner that they often do.
Interesting stuff ahead of the Community Shield anyway. More mind games before the season's even begun.
The Community Shield, let's just say that.
Community Shield. It used to be the Charity Shield.
Excuse me, it's the David Moyes Shield actually, buddy.
You make a good point there, Dave. Because everyone has to rally around the community that is David Moyes. It's the Community Shield. And essentially, it's a great way to take a snipe at your opposite number, who's in the community.
Right, let's whip through the transfer news then for this week. We've got to start. I feel like we talk about him all the time, but it's Angel Di Maria again. There's some actual news in the fact that PSG have made a £28.5 million bid.
Yeah. Derisory, some people say.
I love
this
that.
Is
I love derisory.
I call those people, I call them pricks.
It is less than half of what Manchester United paid for him a year ago, though, at the same time. So he is the most expensive player in Premier League history. It looks like he's going to go to PSG eventually by the end of this transfer window. Where did it all go wrong, Dave?
It didn't go wrong.
Where
I don't think it went wrong. I think this is the problem.
Where did it all go right?
I think what went wrong was Louis van Gaal and Di Maria. I think that's the issue. Louis van Gaal.
So it did go wrong, Dave.
So you literally just said it went
wrong.
Let me continue. It didn't go wrong in terms of his footballing ability and what he delivered on the pitch. He was a very, very good player. He was a different player. Man United are keeping the ball a lot last year. He made things happen. You look at his assist record. He got an assist every 164 minutes in the Premier League. Only Cesc Fabregas bettered that record. What went wrong was he got robbed. Obviously, that went wrong. It seems like he's fallen out with Louis van Gaal.
Just imagine the police turning up. Well, that went wrong. Oh, no.
You can rob me.
Guys, something's gone wrong over here. The door has not held up to these people trying to break through.
There's obviously he's taken a similar route to Carlos Tevez, where he's not really blended into life in Manchester. There's a fantastic interview on the internet at the moment with Ander Herrera and Juan Mata. They're loving life there. Di Maria didn't embrace that, and I think that's why it's not worked for him, because he's not embraced the lifestyle. He's not really fit in, and he seems to have fallen out with the manager. You know, the whole stuff about him not flying to America, crazy stuff, but that seems as something behind that.
I mean, let's...
Or has his agent got too much control? Is that another issue with this?
Or, I mean, you're reading into it. There's a lot of strands to pull out there, though, aren't there?
I'd say so.
Yeah, we don't know, do we? We don't know for sure about a lot of unsettled.
But what we would say is he didn't play very much. He didn't get very much time.
Ashley Young was ahead of him in the old Becknell. He played enough.
He played enough for Man United. You know, he probably killed himself getting sent off in against Arsenal in the FA Cup. It was a big game and he choked. Stupid, pulling the referee's shirt. I was in Manchester that day. It was a terrible, terrible thing for him to do because he was about to get the game. That United were getting a grasp on the game and he blew it. Similar to Raphael, why doesn't Louis van Gaal not like Raphael? Because he got sent off against a Louis van Gaal Bayern Munich. Literally, that's why I think that happened. He showed immaturity in that game and Van Gaal has never forgiven him. And that's the type of guy Van Gaal is. You mess with him once and that's it, you're gone.
Yeah, someone was talking about this the other day. Can I ask a question?
Sorry.
Go on.
This is a really interesting question from my perspective. If you want to get rid of a player from a team and you want to make it very clear...
Yeah.
So this was the point made on the Anfield Wrap and it was interesting. It's a good podcast. Done in Liverpool. And they said, if you want to get rid of a player, I don't want to see pictures of them smiling in training. I don't want to see any pictures of them in training. I want them to be frozen out of the club until they realise they have to leave. And they said that should happen to Balotelli, Barini, and I think there was one other. Basically said if anyone's on the transfer list, freeze them out, let them go. Apparently Shankly went down the route of literally you don't talk to them.
Okay.
That is one way, though. You know, you potentially there's players that you do put up for transfer. You put them on the transfer list, but there's always time for redemption, and that's a big thing. You know, if you did put someone on the transfer market, right, and they like literally they go 150%, 200% in training consistently. Mm-hmm. You've got to give them another chance. In my opinion, that's how I would run that management.
They would say, well, then that's the point, though, isn't it? Well, I'm asking, what's your opinion on essentially freezing someone out of the club? Because I'm not sure if I agree with that.
Dave's sort of suggesting maybe that...
It's a motivational tactic.
No, but...
that's what you're saying.
Has Di Maria given up on the club, or has United given up on him?
Well, I think it's six of one and half done in the other.
That's exactly it, isn't it? It's a mess.
But also, though, we don't know. I mean, the point would be, if Louis van Gaal doesn't want to play him, then Louis van Gaal is well within his rights not to play him. It doesn't matter about his price tag at that stage. That's the important thing here.
Yeah, but
if United are in that market, then they have to accept that at some point there may be a huge loss on a player.
But you've also, with that bid, obviously it's all rubbish and that, but as Man United, you should go back and say, okay, I want Verratti, I want Pastore, and I want Lucas Moura. And that's what we're going to have for Di Maria. You should be bargaining with players. Money is going to go out of the game. It's going to be a sort of, we'll swap this player for that in a way, I think.
No, Dave. You're getting back to that NBA analogy, are we?
We are.
There we go. Anyway, other transfer news, talking about Balassi to Tottenham. Apparently Tottenham are interested in signing Balassi from...
Not going to happen.
Yeah, no. Why not?
Because who's the manager of
Pardew?
Pardew said...
No, Pards, his name. It's on his training jacket. Yeah. Come
Alan Pardew said, because I think that pisses him off that I call him Alan Pardew.
He definitely listens and is annoyed by the fact you don't call him Pards.
He said, he can go for 40 to 60 million.
Yeah, but I mean,
Yannick. I do like Yannick. He's a good lad.
I like Yannick. I think he'd be wasted at Spurs. I think he's at the perfect club.
I think he'd be great.
I don't know.
I think he's at the perfect club.
I think
right
he'd be
now.
Really
they're
good.
They're an aspiring side. Amazing atmosphere. The fans love him. Stay at the club. Do another season there. If you do well again, and you keep your size mid-table, then
I agree. I think he's a player that will improve. He's one of those players that is a worker, and his game will always improve. So yeah, like you're saying, it'll be good for him to just be there one more season, rip it up, then potentially move.
But this is the point. Crystal Palace. We don't know what's going to happen under Pardew. They might have the same destiny as other clubs have had with Pardew, but let's hope not, because I want to see Palace keep going.
I think it's going to be like that.
Other news, Berahino apparently also on his way to Spurs. Yeah. £15 million bid expected.
West Brom came out today on Twitter.
Yeah, they
came out on Twitter. They dropped some bombs on Twitter.
Did the Bird actually tweet from West Brom?
The Bird apparently tweeted and was just losing their stuff, saying this is getting silly now. So let's make it clear, there's been no bid for Sado. That is it. Carry on, everybody. Hashtag WBA.
But...
TP. That's signed TP.
I like that when it came out.
Tony, good one, nailed it.
Well, the Daily Mirror saying there is going to be a bid, classic, going to be a bid of 15 million. Either way, obviously, there hasn't been a bid yet.
He's worth 20 million.
The guy who runs the Twitter account says it's not happened, but yeah, you're saying he's worth 20 million?
Yeah.
Because he's an English player? The premium?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I do quite like him, to be quite honest. I think he's explosive, he's quick, very much like Jermaine Defoe.
Adebayor, perhaps on his way to Aston Villa, Soldado perhaps likely to leave, only leaving Harry Kane as the one striker. They do need
You need centre mids, you need striker.
We need a lot.
Yeah. Ooh, that's, lads, come on, don't, you're going to have a punch up here.
I would love Chris.
You would love Benteke, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'll say this point. I'm really disappointed.
You know what? I read a great evaluation the other day of Benteke by a Villa fan, and the up and down of it was he's got this. People basically characterise him as a big man because of the tactics that Villa played.
Yep,
and he's better than that.
Yeah, I like that.
And we'll see what happened at Liverpool this season.
We all do.
Yeah. Kevin De Bruyne sold to Madrid for 60.
Kevin De Bruyne. I don't think we've actually mentioned him yet.
De Bruyne.
De Bruyne, sorry, Dave.
You said De Bruyne.
I can't believe I'm getting lessons on pronunciation.
In a minute,
I can't believe I'm getting lessons on pronunciation from Dave.
I know, that's embarrassing. Mate, that's bad.
Pronunciation?
Yeah, okay. Sorry, that's...
Well,
next you'll be telling me I'm saying the front three wrong.
I've got Darmian down to
me, mate. For correcting
that
your
surprises
brand.
Me. It surprises me. Anyway, Kevin...
Are you free to do what you want, mate?
Kevin De Bruyne. Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
To Manchester City. It's a rumour that's been going around for months now.
Yeah.
Daily Telegraph saying the City have made a £40 million bid.
Yeah. £50 million.
City, they need youth, they need pace, even with Sterling there. Mm-hmm. This makes perfect sense, doesn't it, Lawrence? Kevin De Bruyne, to City.
Should we also just say, fuck off, Sterling's been good in pre-season.
Yeah, I don't know, he's been shit off.
Sterling is basically... bought into that hype, and it almost feels like he's holding back at Liverpool.
It does. It seems like it's finished.
It's pre-season, and they're playing.
You should have got 60.
They're playing what, Vietnam?
He wasn't great against Liverpool. Real Madrid.
He wasn't great for Liverpool.
Yeah, no, he wasn't great.
You know what? He wasn't great against Real Madrid. No, you're right there.
But he did win a penalty, you know, but he wasn't. He was playing as a lone striker.
Lads, I'm talking about Kevin De Bruyne.
Sorry, yeah, no,
we're talking about rumours, man.
The player who's voted the Bundesliga player of the season last season.
Yes, it makes perfect sense, does it not?
Yeah, it does. I'd rather see him stay at Wolfsburg, but thanks.
Yeah, I'd love to see him stay at Wolfsburg, but he's excellent. He's such a good player. He does suit playing with a target man, though, I would say. So if he's going to play with Aguero, maybe. He's very good in wide, but he gets a lot of assists from, you know, crosses, wide positions. He's brilliant on the, you know, he's a classic second striker where the ball will go up, target man will knock it down, he'll bang in from 30 yards, score a goal or create something out of nothing. Fantastic on the counter-attack. He scored a brilliant goal against Bayern Munich this season where he just broke from the halfway line and scored a goal. They beat them, they ended up beating Bayern Munich 4-1, Wolfsburg, a massive result. I'd love De Bruyne to be at United. I think he'd be a great addition to the Premier League. It'd be fantastic, you know, just to see him. It's a shame that Mourinho let him go, and the comments from Mourinho this week pretty bad again. Mind games. If he does sign for Man City, get hitting him early. Yeah, he can't make it in the Premier League. He needs to be the main man. But I think that's the one thing. If De Bruyne goes to City, he has to be the main man. Are there already too many main men?
What about the Royce race?
Oh,
is there a Royce race?
I don't think so. Thomas Tuchel has sold the lad to the dream, and they are on the dream.
Do you know? And they look like they're playing for the dream.
They are. They're playing for the dream, and it's good to see. I like it.
I think that's clickbait, basically. Royce to Liverpool is pure clickbait. Mm. Coming up this Friday on the Football Republic is actually Royce to Liverpool on the...
Really?
On the, no, I'm joking.
Shame, because that's what would have been a good rating.
Great clickbait. Other bit of news, Juventus chasing Julian Draxler. Schalke have rejected a £15.5 million bid. They value the 21-year-old at over £20 million, according to The Guardian.
Fair enough. I think that's fair.
They've lost Arturo Vidal, they've lost Carlos Tevez, they've lost Andrea Pirlo. Is Julian Draxler the man to ensure, you know, Juventus don't fall apart this season, they win another title, they're back in the Champions League race?
So he's enigmatic is the way to describe it. He's an enigma.
Is this a GQ review?
It's really interesting. He's getting hammered at the moment because he was injured last year, pretty much, and he didn't play that. Obviously, one of his best games he played last season was against Chelsea. It was fantastic in that game. I actually was lucky to be over in Berlin and saw Schalke versus Hertha Berlin. Max Meyer was the one that stood out for me. A lovely little, you know, very, very small forward, brilliant on the ball, that ships the ball around, beats players, fantastic player. Julian Draxler was also playing that day. I was thinking, Max Meyer is 10 times a player of Julian Draxler. Then Julian Draxler just did two things that were just unbelievable.
What were the things?
He just basically cut inside, banged a goal, just on the counter-attack, scored a goal. It was fantastic.
One thing.
And he's very much like Kaká, I'd say. And if Juventus sign him, fantastic.
Yeah, amazing. Let's move on to the done deals then, away from the rumours. Let's move on to stuff that's actually happened. Arturo Vidal was finally signed for Bayern Munich today.
He looked good in that kit, won't he?
Yeah, number 23. We talked about it a lot already, so I think we can move on from that one. I come on to Sergio Romero joining Manchester United. Dave, question marks over this guy's talent?
As big as.
Yeah, it's interesting. He didn't play that much last season. I think he had made like 12 or 13 appearances last season for Sampdoria. Interesting numbers on him. His last season under Van Gaal, he kept 18 clean sheets in 27 games for AZ Alkmaar, which is a pretty decent record. He kept 4 clean sheets in the World Cup for Argentina. No keeper at the tournament had more clean sheets, but for me, he's a bit dodge. He's not composed. He's one of those keepers that is brilliant one-on-one. He's brilliant reaction keeper, but you question at corners. You know, it's classic. He's not a composed goalkeeper.
What happens now for Manchester United then? Because they've got 4 keepers on their books.
Valdez. You can never be too careful, Adam.
Valdez is gone.
You can never be too careful.
It looks like they might keep David De Gea because the Ramos deal is off. So is it going to be Ramos and Romero competing for that number one jersey? Lingard just sat on the bench as well.
It'll just be David De Gea, I think, to be quite honest. Going to be David De Gea is going to be the keeper next year, and he'll decide whether he wants to stay at Man United in the summer.
Stefan Jovetic set to join Inter Milan, having a medical. He's going on loan with a mandatory buyout clause. We talked about him a few weeks ago as well, so it hasn't quite worked out for him, but you know, good player. Yeah, Didier Drogba has gone to the MLS. Lawrence.
He's gone to MLS.
Sorry, I keep doing that as well. He's gone to MLS. Yeah. Apologies. Another world-class player.
Yeah.
6 years ago, potentially.
Yeah, it is a bit. I feel like all of the people keep talking about legends going to that league takes away from some of the quality that we see elsewhere in the league, right? I mean, even for NYCFC versus Orlando the other night.
What a banging game. What a banging game.
Yeah, and that wasn't even just due to the legends.
Have you seen the point from Pirlo?
No.
So Kaká's outside the box. He's taking a free kick. Pirlo's in the wall. Oh. And he just points to the keeper which way it's going. He's like, yeah, it's going to go on the left corner. Kaká hits the post. I think he hits the post and the keeper's in no man's land. But it's quite funny that obviously he knows his run-up's going to be. He's going to put it in that corner.
Lovely.
Nice. I think it's great for MLS to have these. I know they're obviously past their peak, past their prime, but to have these sort of players, the calibre, the names there, it is good for the league, is it not?
I think it's fantastic.
It does distract, like you're saying.
And I don't know if it distracts. I just think it maybe frames the league in a way that they realise maybe they have to go through to get to the next stage.
Yeah.
I really look forward to the days when that you get NBA style coverage on MLS and you get the analysis and the insight that you get on that league, because that will make it, for me, that'll make it the most marketable league in the world.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the youth system needs to be sorted, really. It needs to go to...
That'll come in time, though.
I think it needs to go more European, which obviously completely messes up the whole college system in the US.
They are moving away from the draft system, though. Or at least they're trying to move away from that.
They are, yeah. There's a lad that's training with United at the moment, and there's a defender from New York Red Bulls, but it's... I don't know. It needs to change.
That'll happen in time, and I do also think that they're doing the right thing of maintaining control over their systems instead of letting them go to the market, which is a typically American thing.
Looking at the all-star squad though for tomorrow night's game.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry. Tonight's game versus Tottenham. Robbie Keane, Clint Dempsey, Kaká, Gerrard, Pirlo. It's
basically Champions League. Someone tweeted the question this week about previous club captains. That's not a million miles away from a Champions League 11.
Other confirmed deal.
2001.
Felipe Luis has gone back to Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
Just a year after going the other way, Dave.
Silly move in the first place. I don't think Mourinho knew what he was getting. Ooh. He's a fantastic player, but I think if you've got Aspilicueta at left back, it's crazy that you go and buy another really good left back that has to sort of... I think at left back, you've got to play every week. I think that's a full back. You've just got to consistently play. And that's one of the things that obviously Luis didn't get. It's great that he's going to go back to Athletic.
Interesting.
Other confirmed deals. West Brom have signed James Chester from Hull for £8 million. Dave?
Well, Dave, I mean, Squawker tweeted a really good stat about him that today, didn't they? James Chester hasn't committed a single defensive error his last 46 Premier League appearances. Mr. Reliable.
There was actually a cracking article on Squawker that was comparing James Chester versus 6.5 out of 10 other defenders in the league. Lovely.
And so do you think he's worth the 8, Dave?
No.
Yeah, but Dave, on the back of his shirt, it's going to say Mr. Reliable next season.
Mr. Reliable, number 8.
Yeah, Mr. Reliable, 8. Can you imagine? I would love it if people could get their nicknames on the back of the shirt.
For me, it doesn't seem like a Tony Pulis signing. Unless he was going to play in midfield, that's it.
How about Jordan Ayew?
Ayew,
signed for Aston Villa. Is this guy worth the money, Dave?
I'm going to go into this later on.
In part three.
We're going to save all this.
Oh, it's a trail.
Listen, that
it's
wraps up.
He did it. It's like, this is radio.
That wraps up the transfer news, the news, all that sort of stuff. We're going to move on quickly to the questions. We're going to whip through these and then get on to the talking points. Questions this week.
Yeah.
Should we whip through them like we did last week?
Yeah.
Or should we try and ask them more in depth? I quite liked whipping through them.
I like whipping through them, but then there's some questions where you want to spend a little bit more time on.
Okay, if you want to spend more time on it, you can sort of tell me and I'll save it for next week.
Adam, more time.
More
please.
Time, mate. Yeah. So listen,
more time, please. Don't be an insufferable
prick. Listen, the first question comes from John.
Yeah. Thanks, John.
On Twitter, at darkhiller_ED. He says, how come you guys never talk about AC Milan?
On the podcast,
they've made a few signings, and I would love your thoughts, Lawrence. Maybe give us a few thoughts about their signings.
Bakker's an interesting one. I think the combination of AC Milan and anyone at the moment is toxic.
What, Mihajlovic especially?
Yeah.
One of the most toxic people you get in world football.
I think if I was a player and I saw AC Milan right now, I'd see them as somewhat of a fallen power.
Douglas Costa, though.
Yeah.
Performed very well in the Champions League last year. They just snapped him up. I saw that as a bit of a
You mean Luis Adriano?
Sorry, yes.
Luis Adriano. It's good. It's going to be interesting. Costa's gone to Bayern.
Yes. Apologies.
Both playing red though, Adam.
yeah, they're basically the same team.
Credit to you.
Different countries and all that, you know.
Different countries, different men. I would also say, basically anyone who goes to AC Milan right now, it just seems like a strange decision.
Like, you've got to clear, there's a lot of deadwood. Alex is still there. I watched Inter Milan versus AC Milan.
Mate, you saw the friendly. Goal, you know?
Philip Mexis.
Yeah, but mate, the other 89 minutes of that game, Jesus, I was nearly asleep.
You mean the 89 minutes and 59 seconds?
Exactly, that was it. I was at home, I was at Mum and Dad's house, and I was like, Mum, get in here, watch this goal. And that was it, that was the game.
Right.
Come and watch man with a hair.
We're not whipping here, lads. Luke Willock.
Sorry, did we answer that? I'm not sure we did.
What did you make of
AC Milan toxic right now? They didn't used to. They've lost the ownership, and they've gone downhill.
Decent buys, though. I think potentially they're going to move on under Mihajlovic. They've got a new system. It's going to put it in, you know, a 4-3-1-2. It's going to be all right.
They'll like it more, but it's not going to. It's not going to challenge the Juve.
No.
Luke Willock has been asking me for weeks to ask this question. I always forget, so I'm going to remember this week. He's basically saying, why did Louis van Gaal change from Manchester United style from counter-attacking to possession?
Does he mean counter-attacking under David Moyes, or does he...
He's just said, why did LVG change our style of football from counter-attacking to possession?
It's big in the European game, isn't it? I think what we're going to see this season is a Man United that will be better on the transition, better on the counter-attack. We've seen that in pre-season, Memphis Depay playing as a sort of second striker. Basically, it's going to get better. That's all I'm going to say. The possession last season, some of it was a bit boring, I'm going to admit. Yeah, there were some boring games. Yeah, I agree. But it's going to get better. I think it's just a style. It's a style thing.
I like it. And it's a style that in every other club he's gone to has paid dividends.
I think what you need is you need good attackers. So you basically need to have good possession.
Didn't have those last season,
but you need to be able to get the ball a bit faster to those attackers. Yeah. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to blend the style a bit.
David Lopez asks, are Atletico Madrid the dark horse for the Liga title this upcoming season? They've made a lot of signings. Jackson Martinez, Felipe Luis, who we touched on there, even Stefan Savic, the old Manchester City legend.
Did very well at Fiorentina.
There you go. So what do you reckon? Are these guys dark horses now? I saw a picture of Fernando Torres and Jackson Martinez together and I thought, yeah, you know what? That's not a bad, attacking options. Attacking options.
Well, you think about it now, pre-season they're two are going to be Jackson Martinez and Antoine Griezmann. That's going to be pretty tasty.
Is there any club in world football that has so much good feeling towards them from other fans?
Yeah, I don't know. Even though they cheat and they throw boots at linesmen and stuff. Harder. Tarano's gone to Barca now.
He's taking his bad boots
to Barca. But no, I think Barca and Real are too strong. Under Rafa, Real have looked pretty good. Toni Kroos has literally been running the show, so I can't see them suppressing those two. I think those two teams are just a bit better.
I think Rafa loves a side that is quite aggressive sometimes, if he's got a side that can cope with that. I mean, remember what happened with Inter a few years ago. They were overrun by the attacking Tottenham side. But when he's got a side that are actually able to control the game, Rafa loves it if you come onto him.
I think Casemiro is going to be massive for them, being their destroyer.
One thing we do need to reference while we're talking about Rafa and Real Madrid brilliant comments from his wife today. I would love to see those comments in context with an article written around them, because I think what she means is that Jose Mourinho leaves an emotional wake every time he leaves the club. And she basically said, we tidy up Mourinho's mess.
Yeah.
And I'm inclined to agree, but I'm not sure that's how she meant it.
Did you see the other things as well, on their first date?
No.
Apparently on their first date.
Was Rafa the waiter as well?
No, Rafa Benitez.
Oh, that's only a joke from a Liverpool fan.
Rafa Benitez was explaining the 4-4-2 to her on their first date. Yeah. You know, getting in there early and being like, you've got to understand this.
I did that on my first date. Did
and
you
you're still
that?
With her?
Yeah, unbelievably.
I've tried it a few times and it's not worked.
I'll say this now, my first day with my girlfriend, I didn't mention football for all.
I usually avoid football.
They've normally straight into it.
Right. Have you heard of a 3-5-2 before? what do you think of the deep line playmaker?
And then he's laying out the Pepper Mills. He's got
it's lovely.
Have you got a tick on Twitter?
Not yet.
No, okay. I was just going to say that might help you.
That would definitely help. Right, let's get some whippage. Come on, let's whip through these. So, JCAFC. His friend, he says, my friend asks, dark horse to qualify for Russia.
What if your penis has warts on it? No, it's for a friend.
It's not for me.
Yeah, it's not.
He said, it's definitely not me, but it's my mate. He said, a dark horse to qualify for Russia 2018. I don't know about dark horse.
Wales.
But they're not really.
Scotland. It will be a surprise now if Russia qualify.
I'd love to see Ireland qualify.
Nah, mate.
I want to see Ireland qualify.
You. I'll keep that down. Yeah. It will be a surprise now if Russia
maybe like Serbia, maybe. You know, they've had a bit of trouble. There's a few young players at the moment. Like, I think they've one lad's called Zerkovic or something like that. That's coming through from Partizan Belgrade. Potentially by the time that they're through. There's another lad at the other team, Red Star, Belgrade, that's called Jovic or something like that. Mm. That's supposed to be the next big thing. And by this time, they won't be old enough. Hey, maybe we'll
scratch it.
JCAFC at Cazorla Assist. Now it's him asking, it's not his mate. Oh, yeah. He's saying, if you could play in any stadium in the world, which would you choose?
Good question.
Be tempted to say White Hart Lane, the old, you know,
Tottenham Stadium. Should we ban that? Should we ban our own ground?
Yeah, I mean,
I would love to play at Anfield.
Same, Old Trafford would be great.
You'd love to play at Anfield, Dave.
Okay, but not okay, not your home stadium.
Where would you go, Dave?
I'm gonna have to go with the Bernabeu. I thought it was fun. I went to the Bernabeu this year and I thought it was wow, like it's so steep, it's so close to the pitch.
What,
yeah, it's massive. I've not been to the camp now since I've been.
Well, you've not been now.
I went when I was 10, so I'd like to go again to see its mass. San Siro as well, absolutely fantastic. But I've got to say the Bernabeu.
I'd say New Camp myself.
Really?
Yeah, I think that would be an unbelievable stadium flame. The amount of people they pack in there, I think. The
imagine if they had all the banners up as well.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet.
And then the music.
Adam in the old the mosaic, of course, yeah.
MVP. where else?
It could happen, that's what I say.
I went to a place in Ukraine, which is now gone.
The Dnipro?
Whipping through these questions.
Yes, whipping through the fuck you.
Donetsk.
I went to Donetsk.
You went to the Shakhtar.
Yeah. It's been bombed. An incredible stadium.
Really?
And we won't get to play there.
Okay.
I'm gutted. The stadium I want to play in is LA Galaxy Stadium. I think it's the Staples Center, isn't it?
Staples Center.
Yeah. I've been there. It looks like the ground on Pro Evo. You know when you know Pro Evo a few years ago? Perfect sunset, perfect everything.
Yeah.
It's a perfect ground.
Fair.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Lots of them all there.
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
Sorry.
No, not having a winter break. Is it one of the big factors in English teams underachieving in Europe?
Yes.
But what happened in previous seasons when they did achieve?
I just think it's the thing that you've got to do. You've got to have a break. They're sports people. Yeah,
no, but Dave, what happened in previous seasons when they did
achieve? I understand where you're coming from, but I think that the winter break is quite good. I think it's a positive thing.
I think it's a good idea. All I'm saying is what happened in those seasons where
They've won the Champions League before.
Yeah. But and enough sides have won the Champions League.
Yeah, correct.
Josh Barton, he says, what is your most unpopular football opinion?
I can't say this. I'm
going to go for a very recent one.
Yeah.
When Fabian Delph signed for City, I went, Fabian Delph, I really rate him, quality signing.
Hope he gets injured.
No. I literally just said he was a quality signing. Everyone shouted at me.
In the first 20 minutes against Real Madrid, he looked really good. He looked like he really fit in with the system.
I thought that was a popular opinion, yeah. And five people told me to.
All five of them?
Yeah.
Well, that must represent the mass.
Well, you know, I can only talk from my own experience, Lawrence.
Yeah, maybe.
How about you?
I've not liked Rooney for about 5 years, but I used to not say it. I used to not say it because it was when he fell out with the club, basically, when he, the first time he came up, yeah, one new contract, whatever, but. The loss of massive respect for him there, and I didn't like him from there, and I think he slows down the play and whatever. I still agree with that, but he's our club captain. We're not going to be able to move him. And now everyone's getting on the bandwagon that Wayne Rooney probably needs to be moved on, but they can't do it.
Wait for him to be top scorer in the Premier League this
season. That's fantastic. That's good. Again, going back to that thing, prove me wrong. If I was a manager and players, prove me wrong.
Prove me
wrong.
Rooney, you're on the transfer list now, lad.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck off.
Score me some goals. He's got 300 grand a week.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I'd ship him off, because he's on so much.
Lawrence, time. Have you got an unpopular footballing opinion apart from blatant racism?
I think if you go back and watch any of my YouTube videos, you probably
give me
see
one. I liked.
You don't like Bayern Munich, do you?
I liked.
No, I do like Bayern Munich. I do like Bayern.
I think it's unpopular to say you can't buy potential. You've said that before.
No. Yeah, but you've got to say that in context and then have the argument around it.
Your exact words were, you can't buy potential. You can't buy potential.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean take me literally.
What would you
take
like to... Have you got anything you'd like to suggest?
No. I think there's plenty of unpopular football opinions. The 4-4-2 is dead.
Oi!
See? Unpopular.
That's quite popular. Anyway, final question.
Good buns.
Yeah.
Let's open a fruit of a fresh can of summer band today.
At the front three. Hey.
Fruity.
Hey, how do I go about choosing a Premier League club to support?
Oh, this was great.
This is a great
I'm question. From the States, this so it's not as if I'm
question.
Born into loving
Flip
a specific
a coin,
team.
Liverpool and just move on.
I enjoy watching Chelsea. I think it's kind of... surprisingly, he enjoys watching Chelsea. But anyway, I think it's kind of lame to support a club that just won the title. The other clubs I gravitate towards are Swansea, Tottenham and Manchester United.
Yeah.
Thanks for the weekly podcast. I love the front three, and he spelled it FREE. He's
lovely.
Taking the piss.
Wow.
This guy
great
is
banter.
From Brownsville, Texas.
We should have done. Sorry, like I was going to DM him and ask him a few other questions so we could shape it for him.
Yeah.
So, like, what's your favourite animal?
The swan.
I'm not sure if that would
actually
help in
the
any way.
Yeah, funny you say that, Dave. I'm a big fan of bluebirds. Dragons.
Garlic City.
Actually, from since a young age, I've been a fan of liverbirds.
Listen,
yes, liverbirds.
That was from Alan. He wants to know. I think he should support. Seeing as he said he has a preference for Tottenham, I think Tottenham will be the most fun team to support. Man United, it's a little bit boring. Man United are a little bit boring.
I'd say Southampton, they're the most progressive side at the moment in the Premier League, and it's going to get better.
Listen, he said I gravitate towards Swansea,
I'd say
Tottenham,
Swansea in there.
And Man U. Swansea, come on.
No, I'd say Swansea. They've got a lovely structure.
I think Tottenham are fun
Where
to watch. Texas. I think Spurs are fun to watch now because we've got Harry Kane, the homegrown hero up front. That is a lot of fun to watch.
I'm
going to
say,
plus,
you're
this is
a
club.
World of pain if you go
have you got Sadio Mane, though? Now, he is a good lad. He's a lot of fun.
So, but I'd say, being a Spurs fan is painful, but it's going to get better. The new stadium, there's a lot of prospects, a lot of exciting prospects on the horizon. So your pain will be short-lived.
Southampton youth. Lots of young lads coming through.
Harry Kane, Ben Taleb.
You know, how many get Harrison Spurs. Reed, you know, James Ward Prowse. There's just so many, you know, Nathaniel. It's
Alan.
Go with your heart. If your heart says
Chelsea, which team
Chelsea,
do you... Yeah. It's
yeah.
true. That's
the,
like that.
The problem is that there are too many people who think for too long about choosing a team.
It's got to be a gut.
Yeah,
it's got to
be
an emotional response.
Again, we'll go back to my experience with the NBA. Originally, I watched the Pistons a lot, but then I got into the Spurs, and then I got into the Bulls for a little while, and then I've always gone back to the Spurs.
All I'll say is watch footage of Harry Kane scoring in the North London derby.
You'll
get an emotional response,
you
and
you
will support Tottenham.
And if you're watching Chelsea and you really do jump out your seat, that's it.
Can we also put it this way? If you look into any club enough, you'll find a way to love them.
So look into Spurs.
So
look
into Chelsea. Look
listen,
into Chelsea.
It wasn't. We whipped through quite a few there, but maybe next week we'll try and whip through more. We've got to move on to the talking points.
Support Chelsea.
You are.
I can't believe you just encouraged them to support Chelsea.
We're bad guys, aren't
Chelsea just... and Texas aren't really competition,
listen,
aren't they?
That's enough for the questions this week.
Mate,
if you want to submit more questions, submit them on Twitter at the front three.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you, and we'll try and get through as many of your questions next week. If we didn't get around to it this week, we'll roll it over till next week.
I'm so sorry.
So now we move on to the talking points. Talking points.
Yeah.
Last week's big talking point was free-a-side teams. A great question was put into us. We each picked a free-a-side team. We asked people on Twitter to vote for their favourite. Dave won.
Yeah.
He did get to pick his team first, so therefore it's unfair. I don't want to make a big deal out of it or anything. But
don't be jealous.
I'm not jealous. I'm just
I'm happy for you.
But more importantly, we got some amazing suggestions
really good.
For free-a-side teams. I've tried to pick out the ones that are a little bit different, not the obvious teams. What are you showing?
Yeah.
Dave's showing his phone to Lawrence.
No, it's fine.
So it's all right.
Okay.
Go on.
Fair enough. So anyway, a few little obvious ones first, but a few good shouts. Vishal Rangarajan said PK Matic Neymar. PK, I know you love PK.
That's
so Matic in the midfield?
Start of season form, yes, but then Busquets just hammered him. Mascherano did him over.
Not bad, not bad. Josh Barton.
Yeah. I like Josh.
he's always submitting questions, good questions, but he submitted his own team. He said Diego Godin at the back.
Angry.
Marquisio in midfield.
A lovely player.
Off Diego kids. Costa up front. That is a nasty team. That's
that is,
a
that is nasty,
team.
Yeah. That is,
I feel like there's not enough purity of heart in that side that they would win the tournament.
It's a bastard of a team.
It's a bastard.
They get to the final and lose.
It's the kind of side they get to the final and then like the angels come down from heaven and sort of lift Messi over the top of them.
Josh Button then sent in his 81-year-old granddad's
free
aside team. At the back, Sergio Ramos.
Sorry, who?
Sergio Ramos.
You know, Sergio Ramos.
United in the captain.
Yeah, yeah.
In the middle of the park, Morgan Schneiderlin.
Interesting.
Do a job.
Up front,
Ruben Nestor.
Gonzalo Higuain.
Higuain.
I feel like the team got worse as it went along.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Higuain.
I think Higuain's taken a lot of criticism recently, and it's unfair.
Is he good for three-a-side, though, Dave?
No.
It depends on the kit. If it was, he could shoot from anywhere.
This is your goal scorer. This is the man you rely on to put in the back of the net. Yeah. Higuain is not your man.
Whoa!
I'm afraid to say.
His goal-scoring record in Europe is crazy. Yeah. He scored like three goals every four games. It's
next
stupid.
One. The Rob Meister. He's gone out the back.
My favourite
Meister. The Rob Meister himself has gone for Duncan Edwards, George Best, and Bobby Charlton.
You got to pick people.
He's obviously a City fan. But he's gone a bit old school, you know. He's gone a bit. Oh, I quite like that take on it. He didn't go for the modern players, obviously.
Yeah. But he's got a one shot. I go Adam Johnson. I go Pablo Zabaleta.
I think you've got to cut the middle out, mate. He's not allowed to play football anymore, mate.
Yeah, mate. Three aside sounds about right.
Dominic O'Regan. He's gone for PK Iniesta. And Robbie Keane, obviously.
Robbie Keane,
yeah, nice. Not bad.
I love how that you then put the word obviously. He's gone for Robbie Keane, obviously.
Mark has gone for Ginter at the back.
Good.
He's gone for Kovacic. Lessons from Dave.
Kovacic.
And he's gone for Depay up front. It's a bit of a hipster free.
Like
he's gone for the hashtag potential.
He's been a bit dodgy. He was dodged last season.
To be fair, he did put hashtag potential, hashtag football manager 2015. So he's sort of, you know.
He's seen it.
Manager 2016.
This one was a little bit confusing. Jonathan Jay tweeted in saying Sanchez, Suarez, and Tim Cahill. Yeah, I'm a homer. I wasn't quite sure what to make of that. I don't know what it means.
Cahill playing on the phone.
I don't know. I think he's going to concede a lot of goals with that team.
No, I think Cahill's going to be at the back of his budget.
Alexis Sanchez can do a job at the back.
I think, you know what though? I think in three-a-side football, especially if it's in the cage, Dave, I don't think it matters.
But then why would you have Tim Cahill? He's good in the air. You're never going to whip the ball up wide. You know,
he's very accurate in
the air
as well, Dave.
A few other shouts. Vincent Rodriguez came in with Jerome Boateng, Arturo Vidal, Arjen Robin.
Keep your boots on.
That's all United.
Sugal Skate came in with Alarm, Vidal Royce.
United.
We also had Samira chiming in with Hummels, Ozil, Aguero.
I like that.
We also had Matt Divine 12 saying Thiago Silva, Paul Pogba in the middle, Messi up front.
Explosive.
There's some really good suggestions. So I thought maybe we could come to a consensus and we could settle on a three-a-side team. Maybe we should stipulate as one of the rules they can't be from the same side. So we can't have PK Mascherano.
Yeah,
no. We can't have PK, sorry, Busquets and Messi.
Can we also say maybe it's best that we exclude Messi and Ronaldo from this? Just
I think that might make it quite interesting.
For the sake of conversation.
I like that.
What do we go with?
So looking at the defender, I think Dave would probably suggest PK, his favourite centre back. I'm not adverse to that.
I think PK's got good feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's say PK.
Yep.
But then we're ruling out Busquets, Rakitic, and middle of the park. Okay, so middle of the park. Who are we going for here? We're looking at the likes of Paul Pogba. We're looking at the likes of Vidal, just gone to Bayern Munich. Popular choice in the comments as well.
Tony Kroos
on three side.
I reckon Arturo Vidal is a bit of a battler. Free aside, he needs someone who's going to get stuck in. He's going to up and
Vidal
down the pitch.
But then for that reason, I would then want to say Alexis Sanchez up front.
But we're not on the up front yet, mate.
But that's what I'm saying is all my choices are linked. Like, that's why my choice was...
But if you've got Arturo Vidal running all over the park, you don't need Sanchez to run all over the park. You need someone who's going to finish. The one chance you get is going in.
Yeah. You want...
Is that Sanchez?
No, I think that'd be more Suarez.
Are we saying on...
But
he's Barcelona, mate. We just had PK.
Sorry, lots of
so therefore, middle of the park, who are we going for then? Vidal, what other options have we got? Yaya Touré, Pogba. We're looking at sort of battlers in there. We're looking at someone who's got a bit about him.
I don't care about battle. I care about Vidal.
Ryan Mason, maybe. What do you reckon?
Bentaleb.
Way towards mental.
So I feel like Vidal was very popular in the comments.
Yeah.
We're going with Vidal.
Wow. Sure.
Okay, fair enough. So up front, who are we looking at? We can't have Messi or Ronaldo. We're looking at likes of Aguero. We can't have any Barcelona players. So Suarez and Neymar are gone. We're looking at Ronaldo, Cristiano.
We can't have Ronaldo. We can't.
Outlawed him, didn't we?
Why?
We said Ronaldo or Messi.
Sorry, lads.
Making the conversation boring.
Who are we going for then?
Ibrahimovic. Imagine him at three aside.
I want to...
I'd prefer Aguero. For our side, it'd work more.
Yeah.
Because you've got two short lads in the middle and Piqué at the back.
So you're going for, or we're going for, Piqué.
Yeah.
Vidal.
Yeah.
Aguero. That's going to be any other team, hands down.
That is a side.
Not bad.
You know what? The Piqué factor pretty much means that the rest of the team can be as fluid as they like.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of interchange there.
You know what? I'm going to have to agree with that side because I feel a bit sleepy.
Well, moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on. That can end that.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. I like it.
Can we just quickly come up with a youth side? Depay, who's in midfield?
No, Harry Kane up front. He's 21. Come on.
Okay, then let's say Harry Kane, Depay.
And at the back.
Daniele Rugani.
Wow.
You'll see this season.
Yeah, no, well, then, will, you know what? Come, you the know, same with Depay it. And the same with Kane.
You know, so, who are we going to have? What? Chris Smalling and Phil Jones?
Rafael Varane is a bit of an obvious one at the back.
True, that is a bit obvious. Varane. I was thinking a bit more.
He's gone hipster, mate. Yeah, alright, we'll settle that. Listen, we've got to move on to the other talking points. Have you got a talking point, Lawrence, for this week?
It was going to be those three.
Fantastic. So, yeah. One box has been ticked. I want to talk really quickly, my talking point. Looking at Felipe Luis.
Yeah.
Brought him back a year after he's gone.
Yeah.
Your clubs, if we could have one buyback.
Gabby Alonso.
Okay, not bad. I was going to say exclude the obvious, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
So you're going for Gabby Alonso.
Luis Suarez. Sorry.
No, that's, okay, that would have been the obvious one, to be fair. So Gabby Alonso, I'll take that. So you think Gabby Alonso would be perfect for Liverpool?
Oh,
you think Gabby Alonso right now, as he is, would be perfect for Liverpool right now?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Dave, Ronaldo's the obvious one.
I think the obvious one. Everyone would go with, oh, let's get Paul Pogba back.
Tevez.
But I don't want Paul Pogba.
I didn't even think of that.
I want Gerrard back. PK, the PK machine. Oh, get him back.
Or it's Steven
Gerrard.
That's
obvious for Dave.
Back in England.
No, it's got to be PK. Or Giuseppe Rossi.
Ooh, Giuseppe Rossi.
Signed in the same season.
Dave,
wow.
Bastard. Dave, that was like inspired.
You didn't see that high five, guys, but it was terrible. Anyway.
Next time, elbow. So look at me, elbow.
Sorry, ready?
Good tip there. You're going for a high five, look at the elbows. Gareth Bale is the obvious one for myself. Is Luka Modric still obvious?
No.
I would love to see him
back.
You've
got Gareth Bale, haven't you? So Modric
is definitely. See Rafael van der Vaart back as well. He doesn't really fit the team, but he was.
Did you see the interview on him recently? There was he wants to go back to Spurs. He shouldn't have left Spurs. Yeah. He's got an attachment with
us.
I miss him.
Imagine him running their midfield. He'll give you so much more structure on the side.
He was unbelievable.
More of a second striker these days, I'd say. More of an attacker.
Well, I know, I'm just saying that if he was to have stayed at Spurs, then he would have dropped back.
I reckon he would have matured better as a player if he'd stayed at Spurs.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
Yeah. But a shame, again, money ruins it.
Ruins the football.
Bringing us on to our final talking point, Dave's talking point, is a little question I thought could set up. It's from Robert himself, who said, who will be the surprise team in the Premier League this season? And this brings us on nicely to Dave's talking point, which is all about Aston Villa. You reckon these guys are going to be the surprise package this season? Is that what you're telling us?
I really do think they are. Yeah, I think they're going to be the dark horses. It's going to be it's a bit of a far-fetched shout, but I think this is going to happen. They've obviously lost Christian Benteke, who scored or assisted 50 goals in the last three seasons. That works about 43% of Aston Villa's goals. Massive loss, but they have got rid of him. They've got some cash. They've obviously Depay, Fabian Delph has gone, but they've got rid of a lot of the deadwood. You know, the likes of Andreas Weimann, Darren Bent, you know.
Sorry,
Matthew Lauten.
Deadwood.
I'd say he is. I'd say he's not going to cut it at the top level.
The tenacious Austrian.
But what they've done is that they've.
He had the body of Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're talking shit,
he's
mate.
Absolute,
right,
he's rubbish,
going.
Mate. He's absolute rubbish.
I love
That'll
Austria.
Be Cali, but whatever. Yeah, no, but the signings that they've made so far. So, Gayan that they bought in from Lille, absolute domination in midfield, centre mid or DM in a diamond. Mm-hmm. Completed 1,708 passes in La Liga last season. He's won 54% of his tackles. Solid defensive midfielder, will run the show. They've brought Jordan Amavi. There we go. There's the pronunciation rubbish coming back. Solid left back.
Mispronouncing.
Won 101 tackles in Liga this season. Sorry, last season. That's 16 more than any other defender in Europe's top five leagues. He's going to be very solid. Yeah. You've seen the clip of him jumping over the hole at Lyon. No, that's the lad. Yeah. And he was excellent in that game. That was a brilliant game for him to show his strength in international stage.
Jumping.
Jordan Ayew, that we mentioned before, he's going to be pretty shit-hot. He played with a target man this season as a second striker or as the lone forward. Had his probably better games as the lone forward. But with the rumours of Adebayor coming to Tottenham, coming back to Aston Villa to work with Tiger Tim Sherwood, that could be fantastic. Jordan Ayew was directly involved in 17 goals this season. 12 goals, 5 assists. Will be really good for Villa, I think. He'll fit in really nice into the Premier League. If they get Adebayor as well, you know, he was brilliant when Tim Sherwood came in. He was directly involved in 38% of Tottenham's goals under Sherwood. They're going to have a solid team. You think Micah Richards at centre-half. You know, Jack Grealish that's going to be there, hopefully not doing any laughing gas or drinking anything. Scott Sinclair on the right-hand side. It's going to be a pretty good team. And they've been linked with a lad called, I think it's Vertuut, a Nantes central midfielder who ran the show for Nantes. They've basically gone to Liga and they've cleared the talent out. They've every player that's not at a top side, they've bought. And I think that's why Aston Villa are going to be the ones to watch.
I like that. Backed up with pure stats, information, facts. Lawrence, without any of that, pick a dark horse for next season.
Good question, Adam.
I'm going to go for...
maybe not a dark horse, Palace.
I would have gone with Palace. But
if they hold on to Bolasie, they've got Zaha up there.
Kabay.
They've got Johan Kabay. I think
they've got Scott Dan at the back.
Last season, I went to see them at Spurs. They played Spurs off the park. Deserved to win that game. If they can make a few more signs this season, they've got parts.
It's the parts factor, though, isn't it, Dave? Parts. Which is just unpredictable.
As the true Jordan himself would say, Alan Pardew is the pure honeymoon manager. He gets the bounce when he comes in. He can't sustain that level of success.
It's really odd. Like, but if you look at Pard's record anywhere, he basically wins six games, loses six games, wins six games, loses six games. It's that's what he does. Mm. That will continue at Palace. It's always going to be around that time. You know, one season Newcastle, for example, when they came fifth, sort of got the luck of the green in a way, where the six games that they won were, you know, against the big teams or whatever. So it's interesting.
I tend to say West Ham then, but then I remember they've got Slaven Bilic as their manager. Absolutely. And I don't think that's going to
work. Slamo Bilic. See, that's how many weeks ago I said about that, and they've already struggled in the Europa League against some Maltese team.
Newcastle
United.
Got something to offer.
Newcastle United, Steve McLaren there, Steve himself.
Could
be an improvement.
Their new signings have already scored some goals as well. Two goals, two assists. Two goals, two hits.
Anyway. The centre-half that they bought as well, that's apparently not his right age. They came in at like 23 and apparently he's like 27 or something like that. Age.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, for those listening, let us know on Twitter who your dark horses are for the Premier League this season. Those teams who are going to surprise us, those teams who are going to, you know, really impress us.
Everton.
I would love to see my team.
But it's in your heart, but it's not in your head, is it?
Yeah, it's the organisation.
It's neither, to be honest.
Defensive organisation's just not there.
Yeah. Disappointingly, because they've got all the, on paper, they're defensively organised.
And Stones will be gone too. What a surprise package. I like that. You've picked it up.
A lot of people are backing Liverpool to do poorly this season.
I think Liverpool do very well.
We'll see. Well,
Dave and I say Liverpool, Adam.
Hopefully not too well, because, you know, Spurs. Anyway, that brings an end to episode 15 of the Front Three. Almost, what do you say? Four months.
Yeah, we've done 3 months.
Unbelievable, mate. They said
who's consistently been on everyone? Insufferably on everyone.
Yeah. Insufferably.
Remember when we had to come on from that after your flight?
Yeah. From that airport.
That was a highlight.
It's horrible, wasn't it?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Anyway.
It's been lovely to have a go. Let us know what has been your highlight of the 15 weeks so far.
Because I'd be really interested to see people say like that, you know.
Yeah. Really, some highlights.
Yeah, also after it, hashtag one of our names. So Loz, Dave, or Adam.
Let's make it a competition every week.
Every week.
Anyway,
every week Dave wins.
Lawrence McKenna, where can the good people find more of your work?
Lozcast. LOZCAST. Dave, where can they find you?
Twitter. Squawker Dave. Shall I spell it again as I always do?
Yeah,
SQUAWKA. And then Dave is solid. Yeah, solid, easy. You'll be able to spell Dave on you.
SQX.
Hey, mate, don't confuse them.
Yeah.
You can followers. Find
and Adam, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Adam Boltwood.
How'd you spell that?
B-O-U-L-T Wood. Yeah. Or on Boltwood. YouTube at The Football Republic. Lawrence is on there, Dave's on there. I'm behind the camera, but regardless, if you have suggestions, questions, all that good stuff for the podcast, tweet us at @thefront3 with the number 3 and not the word. See you next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.